6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome to the Creator Spotlight here on the Spotlight on Fightful. I am Steven Jensen, joined as always by Jeremy Lambert. And our guest today is one half of the Freelance World Tag Team Champions, a part of Home Cooking along with Dan the Dad, also the A1 Zero Gravity Champion and Glory Pro Crown of Glory World Champion. Our guest today is Cody Coco Lane. Cody, how you doing? Thanks for joining the show.
What's going on, y'all? How are y'all?
Doing good.
Doing great. Well. Appreciate you doing this.
Yeah, of course.
Hell yeah. Well, there's a whole lot of questions we got for you, and I think it's easiest probably just to start off with your big Glory Pro Crown of Glory championship win. Recently became the champion there. What was it like defeating Warhorse? I know you have a long history with him, and what's it like being like the face of Glory Pro? I'm one of my favorite indie promotions in the entire world.
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty crazy because like when I lived in Texas for my first few years of wrestling, I was always trying to get up to the Midwest because that was like the spot to be. So I was really trying hard to get like on St. Louis Anarchy and Glory Pro. And I started getting booked like more and more once I moved up in St. Louis in like 2019. So it's really crazy from like 2018, kind of when Glory Pro started, then to be the champion now. It's like really crazy.
Yes. I used to live in Nashville. I currently live in Atlanta, but years back when I lived in Nashville, I used to make trips, like day-long trips, like 5 hours there, 5 hours back from Nashville to the St. Louis area to watch those early Glory Pro shows.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with the company instantly. And, you know, I'm going to ask you quite a few questions about Glory Pro, but, you know, what has it been like kind of growing in front of that audience and becoming such like such a star of that promotion? Because, like, I mean, you all, there's a lot I want to get to, but like, for instance, you were a part of the first main event of Ascend, for instance, against Rey Fénix. Like, you guys, they've really like put a lot of investment in you, it feels like, over the last couple of years. And what's it been like just kind of growing with that promotion?
It's crazy because, like, you know, after the pandemic, you know, everything was shut down for so long. So 2021, when it started coming back like more full time, that was like kind of like for me, like the restart of Glory Pro, because like other people took over it and everything after that, like officially. So from that first show, like February of like 2021, for like not as big as the crowd and for it to grow to where it is now, and then getting to wrestle all the people I have, it's like, I wouldn't have thought of it. You know, I was just trying to get booked on the pre-show, you know?
Well, you're doing much more than that. Not to put down people on the pre-show, of course, but like, I mean, obviously you want to be the main event, you want to be the world champion. So good spot to be in. What's it been like with the management changes and everything? Because, like, I mean, once again, I remember Glory Pro when it was run by Michael Elgin. Obviously, there was controversy there. And Dan the Dad, who I'm going to also ask you about, obviously, I remember him back when he was the millennial Danny Adams. And these guys were training. They were trainees. And at, like, a very young age with very little experience, Kevin Lee Davidson, KLD, and Danny Adams had to, like, basically take that ball and run with it and promote Glory Pro. I know KLD has dropped off in recent years. I mean, I know he's still active, but I don't think he's behind the scenes with Glory Pro anymore. But what's it been like with the management changes and kind of what's the vibe right now with the company?
Oh, it's great. Like, you know, Dan rules. So he makes it a fun environment in the back. And since he's still like an active wrestler, we all like to be in like comfortable locker rooms. Everyone's like friendly with everybody. There's no dickheads, to be honest, in that locker room. Like, it's pretty fun to get to go there and wrestle.
I was going to transition into a comment about Ricky Starks, because the way you set that up, and there's no bad people in the locker room. I love Ricky. Ricky is I don't know if he's a friend, but we have a good relationship with everything. So what was it like working with Ricky and kind of being chosen for that spot?
Oh, yeah. He's also – me and Ricky have known each other for, like, 9 years. We come from the same training school down in Austin, Texas. So I've known him probably since like 2015, I think. So it's been pretty cool to watch where he's come to just like rise to what he's done. And then on how all that conversation started on getting to wrestle him, like, it's crazy how all that like built up to that, you know. And it was pretty fun because since we've known each other, I knew he was kind of going through a hard time and get to be like his first wrestling match back. It's like, you know, pretty cool moment for both of us.
Yeah, it was really cool to see online when he showed up, and then, you know, he again basically chose you after delivering this spear to Sean Logan, who is been on the show in the past. So it was a cool kind of worlds collide thing. I was gonna try to get you to bury Ricky, but he'll hear this and then he'll
he's an asshole too. Don't I'll add that to it.
We love Ricky. I wish him the best. We'd like to see him on television a whole lot more.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, hopefully soon. I don't know.
Everything felt good wrestling him, though, being, you know, again, being in a pretty big spot with he hadn't wrestled in a while. I didn't know how much ring time he'd been given, though, but like he was happy with the match afterwards. Good conversation afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he said he was like glad to do it, and that made me feel good because I put a lot of pressure on myself to make sure, you know, the match is going to be good since he hasn't wrestled, I think, since February of last year. So pretty big moment for him to come back and do that. But he was happy to do it. And there's a ring down in Austin, so I know he's always like rolling around and training there. So you don't think he didn't miss a beat.
Another big moment, as I mentioned a few times, the new Crown of Glory champion. What's your relationship like with Warhorse, Jake Parnell? Because, I know you guys have a history with one another. You had a big cage match, like, in 2023 that I feel like kind of played full circle and came back around when you won the championship recently. What are your thoughts on, once again, another one of those guys? I remember him when he was the littlest Viking, Jake Parnell. Like, I remember these guys when they were in their infancy in their careers, and now seeing – same with you. I mean, you've been around for, like – the better part of a decade now yourself. So it's just, it's cool to see how you guys have all grown and what your relationship has been like with Warhorse.
You know, besides all that, you know, us wrestling each other and everything in Glory, it's been great. Like, he's been such a good dude. And it's funny enough, the first time I've met him, this was like, so I used to have an old name named Cody Crash. Very, very lame. It was like my first year into wrestling. So, but I got to go and wrestle for this company called Proving Ground Pro in Illinois. And the guy I wrestled, He went to go throw me at the merch table, and he said, mess up those DVDs, and those were Warhorse's DVDs. And I flew myself on the table, and he got mad and picked it up and threw it on top of me. So that was our first meeting. So it's been a love-hate ever since then.
Oh, that's too funny. Also, we mentioned at the top of the show, multiple titles that you're holding right now. You got the Freelance World Tag Team Championships right now with Dan the Dad. What's your relationship like with him? Because I love you guys teaming with one another, and as I mentioned before, I'm a longtime fan of his as well. So
yeah,
it's been cool seeing you guys grow as a team, but also it's cool been seeing you kind of be able to do your own thing individually, kind of parallel to that. But what's it been like being a part of Home Cook and your relationship with Dan the Dad?
It's great, man. I've known Dan, like, me and him kind of clicked as soon as I moved up here, because we were both doing Alpha One a bunch. So we were always traveling together, like by ourselves, like 11 hours up there. So we really got to like do a lot of bonding. And then we always liked wrestling each other when we did. And then we started tagging, I think, a couple times at Glory, and it just kind of snowballed from there. So we kind of just wanted to start tagging at other promotions.
How'd you really like get started into wrestling? First off, like training, and then second, as kind of a follow-up or a go with, just as a fan, like what hooked you possibly growing up?
Yeah, so I was like 9 years old, and my best friend at that time who got me into wrestling, he showed me a VHS test tape of Jerry Lynn versus Rob Van Dam. And yeah, pretty good introduction, not bad. And then ever since then, he was like, oh yeah, there's this thing on Monday nights called Raw. And then I just started watching that. And then I fell more in love with TNA as like a couple years got into it, around like 07, 08. So that really kicked off where I wanted to do it. And then when I turned about 14, getting really into like Edge and Shawn Michaels, those two guys were kind of my two favorites. I was like, okay, I'm just going to dedicate to doing that. So as soon as I graduated high school, I moved from Oklahoma to Austin and started training.
And who were your trainers, and were there any other people that you trained with? I know you mentioned like Ricky Starks, like from like a similar area and stuff, but did you have any other like notable trainees at the same time?
So ACH was there for a little while, and I trained under him for a few years. He kind of took me on the road and kind of taught me, you know, a little bit more how wrestling works, you know. So I learned how to bump at my school, and then he learned me how to like actually wrestle. So so yeah, he was good. And then another guy named Jojo Bravo, he's awesome. I don't know, he's a Texas wrestler. So him, Jojo, and Ricky, those were kind of like the three guys who really helped me out a lot.
We never know if cage match is accurate or not, because it's sometimes a bit all over the place. But was your first match actually at TCW in a tag team match, you and Richard Reason versus the Lost Souls?
No. Okay. I wrestled a guy. So February 21st will be my 10 years this year. So I wrestled a guy named Quentin Lynch in an old auto body shop in February in Austin. So that was my first match.
Please tell us more about that.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's where I started training. I trained in a pretty much just a 10 build.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
It was just an old auto body parts spot. And then I remember the day we moved in. So we had to like cut all like the metal shit that was like in the concrete. So we had to do a lot of manual labor just to get in that spot. But my first 2 months of training were actually not in a ring. They're in a baseball field, like at a park. So if you ever have Lainey Luck on, if you ever talk to her, me and her are from the same spot. Okay. And we started the exact same day. So we either lost the building or got evicted in that first building. So first day was taking down the ring because we got kicked out. And then I learned how to do like a headlock takeover on the diamond plate in a baseball field.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So you were, so I'm hearing this correctly, you were literally training on the actual field with no ring. Like,
yeah, no ring. We learned how to run the ropes with no ring. We would just like each other off and take like three steps in turn.
What was like bumping on
we
that?
We didn't bump. We would do like little front rolls and quarter rolls, but like that was it.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So yeah, those trainers, they're a little bit older, so they had to do a lot of improvising when that when they lost that building. So
it's crazy. Is an auto parts auto parts shop the weirdest place you've ever wrestled, or is there something beyond that that was even kind of stranger than that?
I mean, I've wrestled in by people's front yards. Like, there's backyard wrestling. I've wrestled in front yards. I wrestled in like a old like bull ring, you know, it's got like the dirt and everything on it. Yeah. So like the ring was right there and it was like abandoned. That was all there was. There was no other like pins or anything. It was just that old metal circle. So we wrestled in there and I got paid like 75 cents in gas that time.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So I know eventually, probably years in, because once again, cage match isn't accurate, but like, what was it like when you first started getting calls to work SLA at St. Louis Anarchy?
Yeah, so my first trip up there was Ricky Starkland helped me get on there. So I drove up with them to Missouri. And then Matt Jackson threw me in a six-man tag. And he liked my stuff. And like that's how it kind of snowballed to like Proving Ground, because those promoters were there. So then every once in a while, they both wanted me up there. And I'd make a weekend out of it and go up by myself most of the time.
Okay. And were you Cody Lane at that point, or were you under a previous alias?
Was under Cody Crash a couple times at Anarchy, like my first one or two. And then I switched the name.
What was the reasoning behind the name switch?
Oh man, they told me it sucks. So I was like, yeah, you're right. It does suck.
Oh man. Because you really, and now once again, cage match isn't accurate. It says Will Wrestle, Lane Summers, Cody Crash, Cute Cody. Like, are these all accurate previous renames?
So yes and no. So Cody Crash is real. Cody Lane's real. When I started traveling out to Canada a lot in like 2017, for this place called Canada's Wrestling Elite, it was like a touring company. So I would wrestle like 21 days in a row, like every single day. And it was just like from town after town. It was kind of like just like the old days of traveling, which was pretty cool. So there's this guy, me and him were a tag team up there, and he did like a very flamboyant gimmick. And he just decided to give me that moniker, and I was like, whatever. Like, I never acknowledged that, like the cute Cody Lane. And then Lane Summers, AEW kept like messing up my name when they would put me in those matches. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah, because Summers is my last name. So they were like, you're going to be that. And I was like, that's not, no one knows me by that. And they were just like, oh, well, they'll figure it out.
What, how about, I know Jensen mentioned Will Wrestle.
Yeah. So I did that, you know, old wrestling up in Detroit.
Yes. Yes.
I did Will Wrestle there. I pitched it to Ricky Shane Page, who's really good friends with the promoter, Justin Knight, and he rules. So they were down for it. I went to like Muncie, Indiana, and then that's where I debuted Will Wrestle.
What was RSP's name in that promotion? Do you remember off the top of your head?
Judge Hugo.
That was it. I was like, I knew it was something strange like that. I remember him doing that while he was the reigning GCW world champion. Yeah. Like during like the collective or something. And I was like, this is completely different than what I'm used to seeing in GCW. So
in Thursday, during WrestleMania weekend where he wrestled Nick Gage, that Thursday of the kickoff, Will Wrestle and Judge Hugo wrestled each other. And then that death match against Nick Gage.
You did. You're the match I'm thinking of. That's so funny. That's so funny. Oh, my goodness.
I forget about that match until people bring it up, and I always laugh. It was so funny that we did that.
Oh my goodness. We also, you know, obviously mentioned at the top of the show, you're currently the A1 Zero Gravity champion as well.
Oh, yeah.
What's it been like going up to Canada, working for Alpha One, Ethan Page, that whole crew up there, and being a big representative of that company as their Zero One champion? Or sorry, Zero Gravity champion.
So, yeah, it's like similar to the same thing to St. Louis Anarchy. I really wanted to get up into Canada more after I kind of stopped doing those tours. So I met a friend named Shane Saber, and he put me in contact with Ethan Page, and he booked me like 2018 in like a scramble match. So, and I was just like fell in love with like Toronto and Canada and wrestling for A1 because that crowd's like awesome. So ever since then, I was like, okay, I'm moving to St. Louis and I'm going to try to wrestle up there. But funny story, 3 weeks before I was supposed to like debut for Alpha One, I dislocated my elbow. So if you ever go back and watch that match, like 2018 in like February, I just have like this huge black brace on my arm and it's like not moving. Like I had to wrap it as tight as I could because I was like not missing that show.
How did you break your elbow?
Some guy in Louisiana picked me up for like a brain buster, and instead of like falling back, he just like went just like dropped me, and as you like land on my head or like put my arm out in front of me, and then it just went just like popped right out. Yeah,
gnarly.
Yeah, and they put me in an ambulance and like drove me like 10 minutes down the street to a emergency room. Yeah, it was bad, but oh well. I got to wrestle. I said, "Yes, you know,
dude, I'm gonna wrestle." I say, "Still wrestled through it. Still wrestled through it."
Will wrestle and still wrestle.
Yes, will wrestle never. Will wrestle never opts to not wrestle. Oh man.
Tell me about your sentons because it's sweet looking.
Oh, thank you.
It's not really a question. I guess it'd tell me about it, but like you do a really good like senton. I know you did the one kind of the springboard one over against Shane Mercer
in the
lace match. Yeah, but just the other ones as well. I do one like off the top rope and then just going on the ring apron, jumping outside. Like so, just yeah, your sentons like it looks really good.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Like when I started wrestling, I wasn't a fan of like the senton move. I was just like, eh, whatever. And then I saw Chris Hero doing them, and he would get really high and jump. Like, and I thought those were beautiful, and I was like, wow, I got to kind of start, like, not emulating that, but I was like, okay, he makes it look really cool, and it looks devastating, so I'm going to try to do that and kind of make it my own. So that's why I started kind of doing it from the outside, doing the top rope one, and just all these different variations.
What about some of your other moves? Because I've been saying this a lot lately because it's been kind of like a talking point in the wrestling community. Like if it's cringe or not to say someone has a cool move set, like the word move set has like become weird almost, but I think you have a sweet move set. You have some really innovative moves. And Jeremy mentioned the senton. I've never seen anyone else do like the electric chair into the tombstone the way that you do. I don't think I've ever seen someone do a full Nelson big swing the way you do. Even your lion salt, the one legged off the top rope is like, it's unique. How did you come up with this stuff?
You know, a lot of like, thankfully I got like friends who are smaller. So they're my guinea pigs when we go to like the training ring. So like, they trust me and they're down. So like, that's how we, Ethan Price is one of my really good friends in wrestling. And me and him are always trying to like come up with something together. But as soon as we like the electric tear tombstone, I said that jokingly. And then I was like, maybe it can be done. So we just started doing it.
So, I was just asking like how much practice goes into that, like before you actually execute it in the ring, or if everyone just trusts that you can land it, you know, one shot, you know, first try.
So the first time I did it was to Ethan Price. And we practiced that day of, because we joked about it that day. We were like, why not? And then every time if I ask to, like, if I pitch it, we always, you know, make sure it's not dangerous or anything.
And I didn't mean to cut you off. Did you have more to elaborate on as far as, like, coming up with those moves?
You know, but I was going to say about the one-legged moonsault, this was during COVID when we were all just, like, that's all we had to do was, like, train in a ring. So this since there was no shows. So I was getting really, like, trying to do, like, jump to the top rope with both feet. And then Dan the Dad suggests I only do it with one foot because no one else does it. And then we practiced that for, like, weeks until I got it down. So Dan the Dad is thanks for that move.
Is there anything that you've come up with that you've tried and it's like, oh, don't know if we're going to be able to do this during match? Or is there anything you've come up with that you haven't quite pitched yet, but you're, it's kind of be bouncing around of like, one day I'm going to possibly break this out?
So the electric chair tombstone, after I gave it to like a close friend, like, you know, since we trust each other. But when you meet other people that you've never met before and you say, hey, can I pick you on my shoulders and then flip you on your head? You know, that one was like the weirdest one to pitch to people because like they don't understand it. Like at first, like visually, they don't see what I mean. So every now and then I got to show them a video and see like, hey, it's not too crazy.
I got kind of a random question that kind of goes along with you as, you know, whatever you want to call yourself, Coco, Southern Flamingo, whatever you want to go by. Where do you shop at? Like, where do you get, like, how do you come up with, like, your gear and stuff? Because you have, like, a super, super unique look.
So my wife helped me. She's a seamstress, so she helps design all my gear. So all the really cool shit that you guys see, like, that's all her. So I'll pitch an idea, and she'll make it better.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, that's super convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a, sorry, just to follow up on that, it shows if somebody has like a wardrobe issue, it's like, oh, Cody's wife, they got you. Does she run around at shows helping people out sometimes in a pinch?
Right now, she's my private seamstress.
So. Oh, okay. I don't know if we just outed something. Now people are going to read it or hear this and be like, oh, you know what? Cody's wife might be able to help you out.
How did you develop kind of the whole current persona that you have? Because it's not just the look and the clothes, which I, once again, I think are very unique and really help you stand out, but it's also the way you cut promos, vignettes and those kind of things, sugar, you know, the way that you speak, everything just a little, you're very unique. And I think that's a very, you know, important thing in professional wrestling. Like, how did you kind of formulate the entire character of Cody Lane?
Yeah. So, right before the pandemic hit, I was kind of feeling just stagnant a lot. And my last match for everything shut down was against Rohit Raju. So during that match, I really just felt like not like myself. I was like, eh, what I'm doing now, I just feel like I'm just like a plain looking guy. You know, I'm just trunks and that's it. So everything shut down. You got time to think about stuff. And like for years, everyone tell me just to be myself, which is just, you know, a very loud redneck who says crazy shit a bunch. So, you know, all those things that I say, like, you know, either I learned it from my uncle or my grandpa. So like all of it's from from that place, you know. And then my wife as well, she started helping me like come up with the character and stuff like that, because she's really big into like, she's the one who showed me like what a nudie suit is, what I wear today. So yeah, a lot of brainstorming. So when I came back, I used to wear like a crust punk, like really like southern religious looking, like a like crust punk jacket. So that's the start of it all. It was right there.
What was kind of COVID like in the pandemic like for you? You mentioned like you were able to sort of work on your character, but how did you like say mentally like well during that? Because I think for all of us, like it was a tough time mentally for a lot of people, but like how did you just kind of manage to almost bide your time and just wait for things to recover and then where you could go back out and show everything that you'd been working on?
Yeah, honestly, you know, like at first it was tough. It's kind of, you know, jarring, obviously, like you can't go nowhere and everything's just literally shut down. Like, you know, you're just kind of stuck. So then, you know, we watched, you know, started wanting to develop the character around like April, May-ish. And then we watched a lot of stuff to grab ideas, a lot of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, hell yeah. All right. Sorry to cut you off.
No, you're good.
That's Jeremy's world. That is Jeremy's yes. world. Yeah, he's all about it.
Yeah. So I love it. It's awesome. And then, you know, I was really wanting to get into promos in that character. And during that time, you know, people like Warhorse and Effie and Danhouse and they were posting those really cool promos. So I was like, that kind of gave me motivation to kind of create something myself. That's me.
All right. Now let's talk some RuPaul's Drag Race. Who are some of your favorites?
I love Ginger Minj.
Okay.
Trixie Mattel. And then Bianca Del Rio. Those are mine.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's my absolute favorite, Bianca Del Rio. I've seen her a lot. So fantastic.
Oh, that's
so
awesome. Fantastic.
Yeah. Just
I'm gonna look them up. You said Bianca Del Rio.
Yeah.
Okay.
The way she just like cuts into people, like the wit and everything, it's oh, yeah. so good. Yeah. One of my favorite things is during her season, she's like, "Let me ask you a question. What do you do well?" And it's like, 5 seconds, go, let me know. But yeah, she can read people, as they say
on the show. Yes. Yeah.
All right. Anybody who takes inspiration from RuPaul's Drag Race, that's a good show to take inspiration from.
It's phenomenal. We see a bunch of cool stuff, and I was like, wow, we can see if we can recreate something like that, or take, you know, yeah, inspiration for anything.
Yeah.
And also, any other nasty bitches on that show, so, you know, you might.
You get some promo tips from them. They'll tell you. Yeah. You'll learn how to cut people with. With some of
the watch the beats of those of how they cut promos, and you're like, okay, yeah, that works.
Yeah. Any other shows or music or just anything that whether you take inspiration from or that you like to just kind of watch and kind of downtime with?
Yeah, for inspiration wise, you know, I like to sometimes I'll listen to like really old hyped up like Southern bluegrass and then Miranda Lambert. It's like a mix of like random stuff. Like I don't necessarily like those songs that much, but listening to them, I kind of start like kind of mixing my character into that and everything. And also leisurely, we like watching a lot of the game shows, and then Righteous Gemstones is also a good one to kind of grab some inspiration from.
Very good show. Another fantastic show.
what type of game shows?
Man, we like The Traitors. That's a good
one. Let's fucking go. Sorry.
No, you're good. It rules. I love Family Feud. That's my number one. You can't beat Will of Feud. I mean, Family Feud. Family Feud, those are the two. I just keep those on. I like Family Feud, Wheel of Fortune every now and then. You throw that in the mix, we're cool. So,
are you caught up on the new season of Traitors?
I sure am.
Okay, all right. I'm gonna just cut Jensen out of this conversation here, and we're just gonna talk Traitors here.
You're good.
For a second. Jensen, Nikki Bella is on the show. She's on the new season.
Yeah,
she's on the new season. I won't spoil anything about what happens to her and everybody else on the cast, but
it's been a real drag queen on the season too.
Bob the drag queen. Yes, Bob the drag queen rules. The scene with him and Boston Rob is like an all-time scene, them two going back and forth at each other.
Dude, what a backstory. I hate Boston Rob. I despise Boston Rob.
I knew he was going to be trouble the moment he entered.
Oh yeah, he does. He looks sneaky.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm a big fan of the challenge, and Wes from the challenge is on the season as well. He's playing a good game now. Yeah.
So, no, it's great. It's gonna be awesome.
I remember Wes. That was back in my day from the OG Real World Royal Rules challenges. Yeah. So I'm not as in the loop now. I watch Beast Games. I don't know if anyone watches that I'm the Mr. Beast show that they're doing on Amazon right now for the $5 million prize.
I catch like highlights of it. That looks pretty fun too.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's very it's like a mind fuck. I don't know how else to describe it. Like they're constantly just putting people in positions to have to like self-eliminate off the show to save other people. And then like the people that like there's been multiple, I won't ruin too much, but like there's been multiple people who have literally given up $1 million during the game for other people and then been eliminated by complete randomness like right afterwards. It's just like, yeah, it's wild. The amount of money they're throwing at these people, like, I'm not going to lie. If somebody had anywhere near $100,000, like they were just like, hey, you take it or you might get eliminated next round, I'm taking the money and bailing. Like just I won. I won something and I'm out of here. You know, like that's how I would be playing. But, you know,
I'd stop them at take it. I was just like, you want? I'm like, yeah, just say left. I'll do it. I'll go.
yeah. But being a fan of game shows, I would recommend Beast Games. Like it might not be for everybody, but it's 9 episodes. I think there's 7 episodes in and all the new ones are on Thursday. So there's going to be another one tomorrow or today, the time that this watch would be airing tomorrow on Thursday. So,
oh, cool. Okay.
Little recommendation there. What other stuff are you into outside of wrestling? Just like any other like hobbies or anything like you collect or anything like that?
So I don't really collect anything. I try to get into the Funko Pop world and it's just too hectic. Mm-hmm. So, but I have a lot. I have quite enough to restart that collection soon. But other than that, you know, me and my wife, we have 2 Huskies, so they keep us busy. We like taking them on hikes. We like going to the movies and a bunch of old style movies and stuff like that. So pretty low key. I don't do nothing crazy. So I think wrestling's the craziest thing I do.
I like the dynamic because you, like in this conversation, you seem so not as it's like you're different than the Cody Lane character that we see, you know. And I think that that's it's interesting getting to know kind of more about you as a person. Like I know Jeremy had asked earlier. I don't know if we got an answer, but who were your favorite wrestlers growing up?
Oh yeah, so my top three were Edge, Shawn Michaels, and Jeff Hardy in WWE. But in TNA, it was AJ Styles and Abyss. Those two are my guys.
Yeah, yeah. What, were you a Monty Brown guy back in the day?
Yeah, Monty Brown was sick. Yeah,
yeah.
I caught the tail end of him when I started really getting into it. So, but yeah, he ruled.
What's it like seeing Jeff Jarrett like still not only still out there but like in the mix to potentially become the AEW World Champion in 2025?
It's mind-blowing. I want to wrestle Jeff Jarrett. He's awesome. He's still going strong. Like, not he's not missing a beat at all. And without him, we wouldn't have TNA, so he's the man.
That's why I asked.
Yeah, he's the man.
I mean, he did independent shots. He's done it throughout the years. I know he did AIW. I think it was last year he did AIW. So I wouldn't rule it out. I wouldn't rule it out, him making his way.
Hey, anything's possible in wrestling. Yeah. Literally anything.
Do you have stuff on the docket for WrestleMania weekend, and then kind of a follow up to that? Like, what is your sort of either goal or a plan for WrestleMania weekend? I know some people like to do basically what is the speedball run of let's have a dozen matches. Other people like to do let me have one or two like really more standout matches.
Yeah, I'd love to do the speedball run. I think that stuff's like so impressive. Like, I want, you know, those are like things you want to do once in wrestling. Like when I saw him in Dallas during Mania weekend, he had like 14 matches and he was wrestling like Matt Riddle at noon and then Suzuki at 3 p.m. So it's just like an ass kicking after each. Like, you're pretty much timing out an ass whooping each time you go out there. So like, yeah, that would be a cool goal to do. I might be out there, so still iffy right now, but yeah, that'd be a cool goal to kind of have 8 to 10 matches during the Mania weekend.
Do you have any like opponents in mind for either WrestleMania week or just like in general, like, you know, kind of like dream match scenarios, whether it be like on the independent scene or in like a major promotion?
Yeah, I think right now, unfortunately, I think he's injured right now, but Jake Something would be my top pick at the moment.
Have you never wrestled him?
Never wrestled. We've tagged together. We tagged at Glory Pro a few times and it was sick. So, and I've always like thought he was like a really badass wrestler. So I would love to do it.
That's really surprising to me that you've never wrestled him before.
Yeah, never have. Always been on the same side though.
Okay. Well, we're going to try to get this booked.
Yeah. Let's
do it. So people who see this, let's make Cody Lane versus Jake Something happen. That is shocking that that's ever happened. I mentioned at the top of the show, that you were part of the first main event of Glory Pro's Ascend series, which is available for free on their YouTube channel, and you wrestled Rey Fénix on that show. Not only did you wrestle Rey Fénix, who everyone knows as, like, you know, one of the best high flyers in all of wrestling and just an overall great wrestler, he chopped the hell out of you. You had a bloody Chester in that one. I mean, that was a hard-hitting back-and-forth match. What's it like wrestling a guy like Rey Fénix? Not just wrestling him, but also, you know, getting that spot at the first main event of Ascend.
It was literally, it was quite the treat to wrestle him. He was awesome. He made me feel welcomed, comfortable. He's no bad words. I would love to wrestle him again. Since that was 2 years ago or coming up on 2 years ago, I'd like to do it now since I feel like I'm a different wrestler than 2 years ago. So he was awesome. And then, you know, when that came out, being like the first main event, I was like, okay, this is awesome to be part of like the kickoff to hopefully something really cool that gets a lot of eyes on Glory Pro.
Is Ray the person who's chopped you the hardest or hit you the hardest? And if not, who's kind of the hardest hitter you've been in there with?
Fénix will get you. Warhorse is a hard chop. It's like a brick hitting you when Warhorse chops you. So I'd say those two guys. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know off the top of my head, but I mean, same circles. I mean, I'm assuming, have you wrestled Gary J?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Like my first 2 years in, that was my first experience ever being hit by like a grown adult.
That was the reason I brought him up, because he's one of the first guys I think of, especially out of that area, when I would think of someone who would just hit you super hard.
Yeah, he'll even mark. He's up there too. He's that top three for sure.
Oh man. What are not just like dream matches, but like what are some of your future goals in wrestling? Like what do you think maybe like short term, you know, in the next like couple years, maybe some places you would want to go, some things you'd want to accomplish, or even long term goals?
Yeah, man. So short, like, you know, hopefully short term, long term, I would love to go back to Japan again, because me and Dan, we wrestled there a couple years ago. And ever since then, I've just been really trying to work hard and try hopefully get a new promotion. I love Dragon Gate Pro Wrestling over there. That's like my number one, or DDT. Those would be really awesome places to work for. And then long term, I would love to get signed to the WWE. That'd be my number one goal that I've had.
Sorry. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Oh, the question I ask anybody and everybody who's been to Japan, did you go to Ribera?
I did not go to Ribera.
Okay.
Surprise. I'm sorry. I know.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I ask everyone if they go to Ribera, and then I ask for a review if they have gone. So, hey, yo, you got to get back to Japan, not only to wrestle, but to go to Ribera.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We mentioned WWE. What are your thoughts on this whole new Netflix era of Raw and all the popularity that WWE and pro wrestling has? I was actually at Raw this past Monday in Atlanta, and it was an awesome experience. The energy, I mean, it just feels like right now, just wrestling. I mean, me and Jeremy, and I'm sure you as well, Cody, we all, you know, grew up and everything through, we were fans in the 90s when it was like at its peak popularity, the Attitude Era and all that stuff. And now it's kind of got that same type of feeling right now across the wrestling board. And I feel like a lot of it's kind of culminating right now, or getting it to where it is because of this big like Netflix and Raw deal. So what's it look like from your perspective, seeing like what the WWE is doing right now?
I think it's awesome, because I think about it when back in 2012, they released like they were going to do the WWE Network. So at that time, as a fan, I was like, this is crazy. I'm going to have everything at my fingertips getting to watch it. Now it's the same feeling again, but it's on Netflix, because everyone has Netflix. Even if it's not your account, you've got Netflix. So everyone's going to be able to watch it. And that, I think, more eyes on WWE, people seek out indie wrestling, and I think it all grows from there.
And I was just going to ask, dream situation. Like, let's just say you wound up in the WWE and, you know, in the future, maybe the near future, like who would be some of the people like at the top, whether you feel like it's realistic or not, like who are some people you would like really want to get in there with in WWE?
Top two off my head would probably be Sheamus and Randy Orton. Those would be, I've always been a fan of Sheamus. I watched him when he very first debuted for WWE in like a dark match against Goldust in like 2009. And ever since then, I've been hooked on him. So he'd be my number one.
Another hard hitter.
I was about to say, you'll have a new hardest hitter after facing him.
Yeah. We got to up it. We got to keep upping it from there.
I was going to ask about any thoughts on like the WWE ID program. And have you noticed, like, has there been any change to the independent scene that you've noticed since they've announced this program?
Not really, but I think that's just because it just started. So I think I don't know how it's ran. I don't know if they're like on a year contract or whatever, but I feel like it could be a continuing thing. So after that second round, I feel like things are going to start changing more, because I feel like people are going to try to keep getting to the WWE ID. So I feel like everyone's going to like kind of work harder in my thoughts.
Do you think that the program overall has been like a net positive for the independent scene?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think it's affected at all. Like people were, you know, saying it was. At least I haven't seen anything. I think right now wrestling's still growing, so I think it's a positive as of right now.
Yeah, I mean, from the outside looking in, it feels like it's a win-win for everybody, at least from like my position of seeing kind of how things are working out. Like,
yeah, so. And a lot of people haven't heard of those guys, you know what I mean? Like, we have, since we're all independent wrestlers, you know, people know who they are, but fan-wise, that just gets more eyes on them to showcase their stuff.
And ask you about a regular at Freelance and Glory Pro, and if you have stolen any of her candy, and that is Shaza McKenzie.
I don't think I've stolen any of her candy.
She keeps a good stash of candy. I know she has the nerd gummy clusters, and those are basically like crack. Have you had these, the nerd gummy clusters?
I don't think so, but I've had the sweet tart ropes. Those, that's like, speaking of tart candy.
Okay.
That stuff like crack. That is addicting. I can crush like two bags of those.
The nerd clusters are good. The nerd clusters are like, it's like a gummy, like with like a bunch of nerds stuck to it.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's really good.
I'm gonna find that. Is it just sold everywhere?
Yeah. Any grocery store or drugstore or wherever you could, they probably have them.
Oh, cool. All right, I'm sold.
Or if you go, if you're on a show with Shaza, she probably has some. Just, you know, ask or steal. Either one.
Dumper bag out. Look for it.
Who are some of the strongest wrestlers you've ever wrestled? Like, I'm asking this mainly because I know you recently wrestled Shane Mercer, and, you know, he's someone that always off the top of my head I think of as a very strong wrestler. Like, who are some of the stronger guys you've gotten in the ring with?
Shane Mercer's strong. He's probably he's not real. He's like a freak. Like, and I mean that in the nicest way. He's just strong. I know I haven't wrestled Jake something, but he's picked me up in a match, and I've used his big ass chest to do my one legged moonsault off of. So I think he's a pretty stout, human being. And there's this guy in Canada, his name's Tyler Colton. He's a power lifter. So when we would wrestle on those Canadian tours, Tyler Colton would pick me up like I was a baby each time. Yeah. Those are the three.
Cody, something we ask everybody on the show is, what is the coolest thing in your room?
You know what? Probably this. I'm gonna bring it closer. It's a tiger lamp, but it's touch. It's not plugged in, but it's just one of those old timey touch
lamps. Oh, that's super old school. I've not seen a touch lamp in forever.
Yeah, that's all this back aesthetic is. It's just old cool shit.
I've noticed in like some of your YouTube videos on your YouTube channel, when you're like cutting promos, you have like little trinkets around you. Are those near you? I think there was like a frog or something. Or
we got that. I painted that myself.
Okay,
nice.
A fan gave me this. It's a glasses holder, so into the flamingo head.
Oh, that's super cool.
Oh, that's cool. Super cool.
And then I've retired the gnome sitting on a flamingo. I've retired that from the promo room. I used to have that. And then all this other cool stuff, like that drawing right there is from a fan that we framed. And then I painted these cow horns. So just really sparkly and pink.
Is that, is that like the only type of art stuff you do? Or like, could you just do that kind of stuff like for fun? Or like, and then obviously with like, if your wife is involved with like your gear and stuff, are you a pretty artistic person in general?
Not really until we started really like putting my gear together, and then she's a burlesque dancer, so I help rhinestone her gear, and then I'll rhinestone my gear. So like, that's like the arts that I do right now. It's fun. It's very therapeutic to do. Getting to paint all this stuff was very nice to do, so I was into it.
Dude, I can't get over that glasses holder you just showed me. That's like the coolest thing ever. Like, it's like you're the Southern Flamingo. You got all this cool gear. You wear shades. Like, you got like, that's a very thoughtful gift from a fan.
I know. They thought hard about it, and I was like, wow, this is the coolest gift I've ever received, honestly.
What's the zebra print thing behind you?
Oh, yeah, it's kind of like a hide. It's like a zebra print hide.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and then we got a dream catcher right there.
There you go.
Yeah.
I love it. I love the randomness of it, but it feels very Cody Lane.
Everything it's me. About I'm it. Random as shit, so that's just who I am. So, yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Cody, we appreciate you joining us tonight, man.
Yeah,
let everybody know what you got coming up, what you got going on, and where they can follow you.
Yeah, so coming up, I'll be at Alpha One this Sunday, February 2nd. And then February 15th, I'll be debuting for Unsanctioned Pro. And then February 16th, the next day, I got Glory Pro, where I'll be wrestling Dak Draper.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
Again, where can they follow you at on socials?
Yeah, Instagram, it's @_ Very Cody Lane. And then on Twitter, it's just Very Cody Lane.
There you go. Guys, the links are below. Go follow, go support, go check out what Cody's got going on. And again, thank you again for doing this tonight. We really appreciate it. And
absolutely.
Guys, we'll be right back here on the Spotlight.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. It
prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.